Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today we have Rabbi and Doctor, actually, Dr. Eli Shapiro, who is a psychologist, a doctorate in education, and a very noted writer and lecturer on family and community issues, and the creator of the director of the Digital Citizenship Project, which sounds interesting. So how are you today? How's everything? Good?
Baruch Hashem, how are you?
That's good. So tell me, what is the Digital Citizenship Project? What is that?
So the Digital Citizenship Project seeks to teach healthy and responsible behavior in the age of technology. We've approached a little different than what has been happening in the community until now, is to approach technology from a psychological, social, and behavioral standpoint and how it impacts us on a daily basis.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And you've written a very nice article in the Jewish Action. I like the headline, Take Two Tablets and Skype Me in the Morning, The Challenges of Our Children's Technology. And, you know, it's and you're absolutely right. Today, I mean, I am totally amazed at what's going on. First of all, I mean, kids, how is it possible that kids who are 5 years old know how to do all this stuff and I can't do it if my life depends on it?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that we have as parents and as educators, where we're dealing with a technology base that our kids are more savvy in than we are. We don't have a mesora in how to raise kids effectively when it comes to technology. It's the first generation that this is actually having to deal with this issue. The terms that we use are digital natives and digital immigrants. Our kids are the natives, and we have a whole new generation of immigrant parents.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that I think is really fascinating, though, is that because technology changes so quickly, that the people who are, you know, tech savvy in their 20s, and then when they have their kids are going to look at them like, oh, you're archaic. Are you kidding? Is that what you're doing?
Right. It's you know, one of the issues when we bought our children Kindles, Amazon Kindles for Hanukkah, you know, it took me long enough to figure out how to use a MacBook and an iPad. I couldn't learn another technology, and I'm on the younger spectrum of, you know, parents raising kids in the technology generation. So it's really hard to keep up.
Right. No, there's no question it really is. And in the article, you talk a little bit about how parental control, and I guess it seemed to me what you were saying also is that parents think, okay, once we put in the controls, then we're great. We're all good to go. But that's really not true.
So the parental controls are an important component of overseeing children and their technology as far as keeping them from graphic content and imagery. And I think now, at this time when there's such graphic violence, what's going on in the situation in Eretz Yisrael, and it's sort of being broadcast on our devices, to protect kids from that, the idea of having filters is really important. But it doesn't really address the behavioral challenges where we see kids spending way too much time with their technology or staying up late as a result of their technology, or the impulsivity that technology promotes, where kids will email or text or post something that can be problematic for them just because of the medium of technology.
And you think if the responsibility is shared equally between the school and the parents, or do you really think it's really squarely on the parents' shoulders to make sure that their kids understand how great technology could be, but how dangerous it could be also?
Well, I always felt that partnership between entities is critical. So it's the school, it's the parents, it's the community leaders, and understanding. I think the most effective way of addressing any issue is really addressing all the systems that people are facing. So having parents and the school and community rabbis on the same page, using the same language and identifying the same challenges and approaching the interventions the same way is the best way to do it. I wouldn't put it squarely on the school or the parents. It's really both and working together.
So how do you develop a coordinated effort or program where everyone is, you know, doing it together? The rabbi in the shul is speaking about it, the school is speaking about it, the parents are speaking about it. You put it all together as a one package. I haven't seen a lot of that. Has that happened?
So think it's happened on a number of issues over the, you know, the years in communities. Abuse has been certainly one of those issues where rabbis, schools, and parents have gotten together to be on the same page. When it came to internet safety, and which is a part of the broader digital citizenship issue, communities, rabbis, schools, and parents all came together on that to push the importance of filters and monitoring software. And that's kind of served as a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it's critical to have filters and monitoring software. On the other hand, as we said earlier, it's not the only thing. And if we're only doing that, then we're missing the larger picture.
Right. So you say it really goes beyond, as you say in the article, it kind of goes beyond just filters, but it's, you know, the internet, the content, and the effect that it has, the real impact it has on social, psychological, and behavioral functioning. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you see that?
Connect with the idea of being digitally distracted. I mean, the idea that we always are compulsively checking our cell phones. Did we get another email? Did we get another text? Are we missing out on something? It's something that the kids today call FOMO, which is a fear of missing out. Because we have access, and the access is amazing, it presents us with tremendous opportunities, but it also keeps us checking. So I think we can all relate to that distractibility. There's something that called a phantom vibration, where 89% of people report that their leg has vibrated even though their phone is not there. So if you think about that, our bodies have been conditioned to anticipate that call or that text or that email. And so if our bodies are conditioned, what is our brain doing as well? Are we also distracted in that way? So kids today are socially distracted, not just because they're checking their devices, but they've been conditioned to be looking elsewhere.
Yes, you're right about that. One time on Shabbos, I could swear I felt the little vibration that I got
right.
This can't be. No, this is impossible. But yes, you're right. But let's compounding the situation. So today the schools are using technology much more than ever before. So, you know, you're not only having it at home, but it's part of the curriculum. And we've kind of gone away from the old line textbooks and blackboards, and I mean, you know, and smart boards are even obsolete. So, I mean, it's just like you can't get away from it. It's just all over the place.
You're right. Technology is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. And that is specifically why we need to be more aware of how it impacts us, and we need to be more deliberative in how we approach it. I think that the opportunities that technology presents in a school environment are tremendous. They allow for the diversification of learning. They allow for tracking. They allow for specifying the learning to the student's needs in ways that we've never been able to do before. But if you're approaching that model of learning without providing the awareness and the tools to effectively manage the technology, I think it's irresponsible.
Right, and then you quote Rabbi Polkowitz, who always has great things to say, and you say advancements in communication have not been matched by the art of connectivity.
Think about it. You know, we live in a time where we can video conference with people from across the world. On the other hand, are we making the necessary eye contact to establish regular, meaningful relationships with people? A lot of the research seems to indicate that there's been a decline in how people make eye contact, and while quantitatively we have more friends, qualitatively we see a diminished capacity in our friends making. And certainly for our kids who are growing up in this generation where social relationships are built via technology, they don't even have the baseline to compare it to developing without technology.
Right, and you talk about an area that I never really thought about a lot, which is you call cyberbullying. So what does that mean?
Bullying is an issue that we've been hearing about in the schools for a long time. It's when children abuse their power and specifically intend to harm other people. Generally, you'll have one or two kids in any given class or grouping that might act as a bully. And it gets more complicated in the online realm, where one is intentionally harming someone else through the electronic medium. And what makes the electronic medium a little more complicated is that once you engage in an act of cyberbullying, whether it's posting a negative comment or putting up a bad picture of somebody, there's really no way to take it back. Once it's out there, it's out there. And one of the issues we try to convey to kids today is the public and permanent nature of technology. Once you do something, it's there and it's public and it's permanent.
Right, you talk about the footprint. Let's talk about one of the issues that I know that we've spoken a lot about at the OU, and that's the texting on Shabbos and the half Shabbos. And the thing that I find amazing is that some of the kids that I find out are involved in this are great kids. I mean, these are not kids who are off the derech, and they're not kids that are, you know, not socially acceptable, and they're kids who are, you know, they're leaders of the class, and they're from kids, they're nice kids. But somehow, I guess, is this the Yetzirah of what we're living in today, that they just can't go a complete day without doing something? What's happened?
I think the power of technology and the draw of the ability to connect is really powerful. What the research seems to suggest is that, you know, they look at something called texting addiction. So texting addiction, regardless of your religion, is engaging in unhealthy texting, just either in quantity or just the way you're texting that is off-putting to other people. And people continue to do that. And what they found is that there is some social anxiety in those people. And the social anxiety is diminished when they're using a device. So you're basically asking someone who sometimes in a face-to-face conversation feels anxiety, they don't feel that anxiety when they're texting or emailing, and saying to them for 25 hours, I don't want you to be able to connect with other people without feeling anxiety. So I really think that that's the issue. And if we want to address the issues of social media on Shabbos, it's really not a religious issue. It really is a social anxiety issue. It's an anxiety. And we need to address the anxiety, the underlying reason behind it, and help these individuals feel more comfortable in face-to-face conversations.
So how do we do that? This is the parents, it's the teachers, it's a community. How do we do this?
I mean, that's one issue specifically. I don't think it's a majority of the population. I think it's somewhere in the 12% range of otherwise Sabbath observant teens are engaging in this behavior. But on a broad basis, providing parents and schools with the language necessary, let them understand how technology impacts our social engagement, how it impacts our impulsivity, our compulsivity. There's a whole concept of online disinhibition where people act and do things that they wouldn't normally do because of the perceived anonymity, where they feel that what they do online is private, even though it ends up not being. And by understanding, by providing the language to parents and kids, we can now have a conversation about it and be able to identify what the issues are. You know, David Pelkovitz, Dr. Pelkovitz often talks about naming the monster. And so if we provide the language for it, we can begin to address the challenge of it, but we first have to talk about it.
Right. And then I think, you know, one of the really nice parts about the article is you talk about some very positive things that can be done, you know, in this regard. And one of them is having a central charging station where teens have to leave their phones and iPads to charge overnight. A great idea. I mean, do you know people that are doing that today?
Yeah, I mean, adults should be doing it too. There's numerous research studies. Kent State University and more recently Harvard University found a study that looking at electronic devices prior to going to sleep impacts your ability to fall asleep, the quality of your sleep, and impacts your sleep, your day the next day. So the idea of turning the devices off and separating them for a while, it's not a new idea, but it's something that we all should be doing. I don't really see why children certainly need devices after 10 o'clock at night. So by empowering parents to say, okay, 10 o'clock at night, our devices go into a central location, and other ideas that we suggest to parents is that when children are on their electronic devices, the doors to their room should be open. Small practical suggestions that just make a difference in the children's technology engagement.
You know, I think those are great ideas. And also you talked about the fact that you should have, you know, programs, or you should have family events where, you know, it's the social connectivity. Because, you know, let's face it, all of us have seen the same thing, an amazing sight. Go into a restaurant and you see people sitting there, five people, you know, mother, father, you know, children, none of them talking to one another, all of them right. on their, you know, iPhone, and there's no communication at all. I mean, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to, you know, even when you go into a restaurant and say, okay, we all shut off our phones right now, period. And right. it would be a good idea if people sit around and talk. Look, this is what Shabbos is all about, which is why, Baruch Hashem, we have the beauty of Shabbos. If we could utilize it correctly, you know, it answers all these problems, you know?
We are so fortunate. You know, sometimes we have secular people over for Shabbos meals, and they love the idea of just going dark for dinner. It's a term that I heard. You know, going dark for dinner is no technology during dinner time. Everybody sits around and talks, and that's really what makes Shabbos so amazing. But we can also replicate that to a degree during the week as well.
Right, and you have a really good idea also about when kids come home from school. How was school? Okay, whatever. But, you know, if you really could really engage them. You know, I think it's important today to get kids to talk more than ever, look you in the eye, have a conversation. I think it's a great thing, and we're losing the art of communication today, aren't we?
Yeah, one of the things that we can do as parents is to model that by sharing our day with our kids. Sometimes we ask our children, how was your day in school, and tell me about it, but we never share what happened during our day. And sometimes if we say, you know, at work today, this, that, or the other happened, that really promotes reciprocal communication from your children.
Yeah, well, it's terrific. Well, I'm going to encourage everybody to read the article in the Jewish Action. Read it online if you want. It's, as I said, a cute title, Take Two Tablets and Skype Me in the Morning, and that's really great. And, Ellie, I think you've given us some very, very great ideas, and haslacha to you and everything you're doing. So we've been talking to Dr. Ellie Shapiro, who is with a doctorate in education and is the creator and director of the Digital Citizenship Project. Thank you so much, and thank you for writing the article. We really sincerely appreciate it, okay? Have a great
day.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.